Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Not the prettiest of nights all the way around when it comes to great football, but the Miami Dolphins will absolutely take it. It's Chris Carlin and Harry Douglas this morning for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests will appear via the Goodyear hotline. Harold Anthony Douglas IV. How are things?
I'm so sick of you, Chris. We just started the show. I'm doing well, my man. Glad to be on with you. You know you're one of my favorite. Hey, before we start, you know what we have to get out of the way. Mm. You have your candle?
I do. I have two separate candles this morning. Oh, Harry, man. The last time we spoke was really adamant about setting the mood. And so I wanted to ask you before I actually light the candle today. I have a caramel and sea salt candle. And then I have another candle that is actually named Mantown.
Ooh, oh, look at
my
you.
Wife gave me that one. I don't know.
You trying to jump off the cellophane this morning, Chris. My goodness, Chris, jumping off the cellophane at
well,
home.
Well, I mean, as opposed to you who's starting fire hazards in studios. But I will light whichever one you feel sets the proper mood for today's show.
I want you to light, was it called Manhood, you said?
Mantown.
I want you.
We're going to take a trip.
I want you to light Mantown. I have my two back here. I have mango and peach there. Both of them are mango and peach mixed together. Hashtag everyone, if you're watching the show, free the candle.
Well, last night, it was not a pretty night from the get-go for Ian Book in his first career start for the Saints. Pick six before you even blinked. Miami wins 20-3 at New Orleans. The Dolphins are 100% in control of their playoff destiny as they sit in the seventh spot in the AFC right now. And the Saints are going to need some help. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. The biggest factor, though, Jaylen Waddle, 10 catches last night for the Dolphins. And as impressive as could be on a lot of fronts, Tua Tagovailoa talking about Waddle and what he brings to the offense.
I think Waddle's brought a lot. You can see that when they do try to cover Waddle, that he opens up other guys as well. So I would say he has a lot to do with the game plan, but, you know, you also got to have a game plan for when they do decide to cover him.
Yeah, the Dolphins are exceptionally creative in finding ways to get him the football, whether it's on that little inside shovel pass at the goal line or whether it's, you know, lining him up in the backfield some. Harry, I really, it's been a while as he can set the rookie record for catches in a season. He's five short now of Anquan Boldin. He's got 96. It's been a while since we've seen a rookie receiver that has been able to come in and make this kind of an impact. But I think a big reason why is the Dolphins have found different ways to really employ him, especially when they have a quarterback who does not throw the football down the field.
Yeah, I think it's important. And when you have a talent like Jaylen Waddle who can play in the slot, who can go outside, who can line up in the backfield, who can do it in returns, you just want to find ways to get him the football. And I think the Miami Dolphins have done a great job of doing that. We've seen how electric he was at Alabama. Now we're seeing how electric he can be at the NFL level. But I love how they're using him. You give him a little shovel pass, and then not only that, you line him up in the backfield. And I love that because now defenses can't pinpoint and try to double Jaylen Waddle because you don't know where he's going to line up. They give him screens. And not only that, he can run routes down the football field. But I think it's also a testament to Alabama and their history. I believe starting with Julio Jones when he was at Alabama and all the receivers that came after him. When these guys get to the NFL, Chris, they are NFL ready right now. It's not enough. Let's wait a year or two so these guys can get acclimated to the NFL game. No, they are ready to go the moment they step on the field at whatever organization drafts them.
Well, the other interesting thing here is the Dolphins become the first team in NFL history to lose seven in a row and win seven in a row. Classic. In the same season. Now that's nuts. That's absolutely nuts. They open the season beating the Patriots. They lose seven in a row. They're 1-7, and now they're 8-7 and in control of their playoff destiny. It's just an absolutely bizarre situation, but I think it speaks to the head coach. I think it speaks to Brian Flores, because so often, Harry, we talk about how the Belichick assistants just always seem to fail, with one or two notable exceptions, because they go and they try to be Belichick. They 100%. Try to do the things that he does as a head coach, and they maybe lose some sense of being themselves in all of that. And you understand it, given his history and given his success. But Brian Flores has gotten that group to play hard for him and believe that the season was not over at 1-7. And, man, that speaks volumes about the job that he's done.
Yeah, you see them right now. They currently hold that seventh seed in the playoffs, and if they win out, they will go ahead and clinch a spot. But Brian Flores, I love what he's brought to the Miami Dolphins program. And I'll say, dating back to even last year, if this team would have had a prolific offense, or offense that's been above average, they would have made the playoffs, I believe, this year. They already be in it. But you got to look at this, too. They have lost three games in the 2021 season on last-second field goals. They lost to the Raiders that way. They lost to the Jaguars that way. I think that game was over in London. And then they lost to the Atlanta Falcons on a last-second field goal with Young Wei-Koo. So if they just would have won one or two of those games, they will be sitting so right now in the playoff standings. But still, at the same time, they are not out of the winning the division. They would need Buffalo to lose two, and they would have to win out to clinch that division. But they're right where they want to be. They control their own destiny. And at the end of the season, a coach can only ask for, hey, we control our own destiny, because you don't want it to be in everybody else's hands and count on this team to lose and all kind of wackiness to be going on and happening. You want it to be in your hands. So if you go out and you lose the game, you can blame nobody but yourself. But I love what this Dolphins football team is right now, especially defensively. When you can have guys like you have in the back end that can cover, and then now with your front seven, you can do all kind of different things, because you're not worried about those guys getting beat deep. Listen, the luxury of having guys who can guard in the back end, you see the New Orleans Saints, they have that luxury. The Miami Dolphins have that luxury. You see the Kansas City Chiefs, that secondary has picked it up a lot. You can do a lot of different things up front with your front seven when you have the luxury of guarding man-to-man, or playing man-to-man coverage in your back end.
You know, the other thing with the Dolphins is, you know, I get it, okay? Tua gets knocked quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I understand why. I don't know why it is, Harry, that I can't wrap my head around Tua being somebody that you're going to build around. And maybe it's unfair, but when I go and look, during this stretch, during this seven-game win streak, he's completed 74% of his passes. Now, he also hasn't thrown a pass over 15 yards. Now, for me, I just made up that second stat, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah, I'm about to say, Chris, you're crazy.
He cannot throw the football down the field. And just as an example, Jalen Waddle has 96 catches, Harry. How many times during the pre-draft process did we hear the phrase, can take the top off the defense?
Yeah.
That's great, but not when you don't have a quarterback who can't do it. He's got under 1,000 yards with 96 catches. There's no way that somebody like Jalen Waddle should average under 10 yards a reception. Well, I just don't think he's the guy to build around.
Well, I'll say, Chris, to reply to that, I think the organization needs to do a better job, too, of building around Tua. Devontae Parker, they have to get him more involved. You signed Will Fuller, and you was expecting him to be a guy to take the top off the defense. He hasn't been out there for you as well. Then you have guys being injured in and out of the lineup. I think their young offensive line, those guys need to step it up a lot more. Tua got hurt the first time because that offensive line was so bad and got him hurt, got him hit. Right? So I think that these last seven games have been a building block for Tua in this Miami Dolphins defense, this Miami Dolphins team. Whenever Tua came back and started playing, he's building a momentum. And I think you can build around him, but you just needed a starting point. And I think this seven-game win streak is a starting point for Tua and the Dolphins. Now, I would love to see Tua push the football down the field a lot more, but I don't think they really have that personnel right now. I understand Devontae Parker, he can get it done. But they don't throw it down the field to him. And I don't know why they don't do that. But getting Jalen Waddle to football right now, I don't think that's a bad thing. You have the tight end. You have two of them. You have Gesicki and then you have Smite. You have two guys who can do it at the tight end position. And right now I think they have three solid running backs too. They just got to find a way to get it down the field.
This has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We are just getting started. Chris Carlin, Harry Douglas in for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max here on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Up next, the Browns, they had a chance to cook up the fourth quarter comeback, and, well, it all went up in flames. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
He's also
for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, what's the word I'm looking for? Not good. Chris Carlin, Harry Douglas in for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Make sure you are a part of the show on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You heard Aaron Goldhammer there from ESPN 850 in Cleveland. You can hear him here, I should say, explaining to us yesterday exactly why Baker is not the guy for the Cleveland Browns. Here's Aaron.
At some point in the NFL in 2021, you have to throw the ball. Whether it's this week or next week or the week after that, if you don't have any trust and faith in your quarterback to be able to throw the ball in a situation like that, I mean, I don't care if you happen to win that one game. You're not going anywhere as a team if you can't put the ball in your quarterback's hands and expect him to go down the field, the length of the field, and win you a game. So, you know, the Browns are steadfastly sticking by Baker. But this is sad to say, I had more confidence in the Browns practice squad kicker on Saturday than I did in Baker Mayfield.
Look, I mean, doesn't that tell you everything? And listen,
Chris, he said he had more confidence in the Browns practice squad kicker than he did in Baker Mayfield. That is hilarious. That's
Let me ask you something. Is he wrong?
No, hell no. He's not wrong at all. Not wrong whatsoever.
See, this tells me everything, though, because I watch Baker play, and I get it. It was a particularly awful night throwing four picks the other night, okay? That's fine. I just don't see a guy, when you are making some of the mistakes that he makes now at this juncture of his career, yep, that is ever going to lead you anywhere where you need to get. And this is a team that, frankly, is built to win in the short term. You cannot waste the career or the prime of the career of a guy like Myles Garrett. And it just, that's what it feels like to me right now with the Cleveland Browns.
Well, Chris, I'll tell you this. It's just hard for me to watch. When I watched those interceptions on Christmas Day, the first one, I don't know what Baker was looking at. I think it was a deep over concept where one of the receivers have a deep over, and usually when you have a deep over, you have a post on the opposite side. So it's one high. That means it's a safety in the middle of the football field. Now, granted, the safety kind of tricked Baker a little bit and made him think he was about to cut the deep over route, but then he got back in the middle of the football field. So that ball should have never been thrown in the middle of the football field because pre-snap it told you, don't throw it there. And then the second interception is a play that I've run a lot when I was with the Atlanta Falcons, where you have a 3-by-1 set, three guys to the right side. The inside guy at number three, he's going to go 12 to 14 yards and hook up over the football. You're going to have your slot receiver, Jarvis Landry. He's going to go up 12 to 14 yards and hook up inside edge of the numbers, right? And then the outside guy will probably have an 18-yard comeback. So Jarvis Landry was wide open. Baker just threw the football over his head. And I was like, what is going on here? And then the third interception, I think kind of like a little wheel concept, Jarvis Landry going down the sideline. He literally put his hand up for Baker to throw the football down the field. For some reason, Baker tried to back shoulder him, that whole ordeal. Jarvis falls down. He gets intercepted. So three interceptions, and I think three not-so-smart mistakes by Baker Mayfield. And you see the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, they capitalize on those things. That's the interception y'all seeing right now, Jarvis Landry being wide open. And this is the last one I was talking about. I just don't understand that. The Green Bay Packers, they go down and they score three touchdowns off of three of those interceptions. And then the last interception that Baker had, I don't put that on him. I thought it could have been a pass interference call, but at the same time, it goes down in the stat book as an interception. Four interceptions in one game against the Green Bay Packers, and you still had an opportunity at the end to try to win it. But my problem is with that is that why in the hell is Kevin Stefanski putting the football in Baker Mayfield's hand at that point in juncture in the game when you had timeouts? And Nick Chubb the run game ran for over 200 yards against the Green Bay Packers defense. Run the football. Don't put it in Baker's hand. We've seen against the Kansas City Chiefs when you try to put it in Baker Mayfield's hand, he's going to throw the interceptions. He's going to turn it over. He's not going to get it done. So I don't know why they continue to put the football in his hand at that juncture in the ball game when you had timeouts and you could have ran the ball, I think, in that situation. But Baker Mayfield, the interceptions, I don't think there are any excuse. And I don't want people to sit up here and say Baker Mayfield is playing hurt. I don't care about all that, because if you're out there in that football field and you're playing, no one cares about you being hurt. I know the opposing team doesn't, because if Baker goes out and throws for 500 yards, we're not going to talk about Baker Mayfield's hurt. We're going to talk about how excellent he was passing for 500 yards.
Yeah, and look, I have some empathy for that situation, but I exactly agree on the notion if you're out there, you can't make excuses. Yeah. But then the question really becomes when you consider that their defense is not bad. You know, they've got guys on that side of the ball that can do enough to win football games right now if you had better quarterback play. So who does the guy become? And who are you looking at? If I'm Cleveland, I am looking long and hard at trying to figure out if I can pry Derek Carr away from the Raiders, who only has 1 year left on his deal, if the Raiders are going to be looking to go in another direction, Harry. He's only making $19.8 next year. Yeah. And if I had to give away a first-round pick to get Derek Carr, and I felt like I had a chance to win, Derek Carr, with the Cleveland Browns, he absolutely can win there.
Yeah, I'll say Derek Carr, and not just him. I'll say Kirk Cousins as well. And I understand Kirk Cousins has had his struggles in the National Football League. But Kevin Stefanski, their head coach and guy who calls their plays, he's very familiar with Kirk Cousins. And I think Kirk Cousins would be a major upgrade over Baker Mayfield, because you got to look at it. They have the pieces in place in it with this football team, with the Cleveland Browns. Defensively, offensively, they have everything in place. Right now, they just need great quarterback play or a decent quarterback play. And what Baker Mayfield is presenting is not even decent quarterback play. He has 11 interceptions on the year and I believe 16 touchdowns. That ratio is not good. So I think Derek Carr would be good. The thing is that I don't know how happy Derek Carr would be in Cleveland, because he's a West Coast guy. He's a West Coast guy. He likes Cali. He likes Vegas. He likes being on that side of the country. So, and then you got that cold weather in Cleveland. I don't know if he wants to go play in that, mainly at the end of November, December, and January football. So I think Kirk Cousins is the best bet, because he's been with Stefanski already in Minnesota. So that's where I go with it.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. My only thing about Carr is, at the moment, at least, you can keep it not about him having to make that decision.
Yeah, and then, because you're trading for him.
Yeah, and look, I get you'd be giving away a first-round pick to get him. But if they actually felt like they had a chance to win next year, which they should absolutely feel that way with the right quarterback in place, it's worth it to me to take a shot, and then I'll figure out my quarterback situation long-term. And if I'm Carr, that's going to be my best chance to win since I've been in the league.
If Cleveland's in win-now mode, you don't worry about giving up a first-round draft pick for Derek Carr. Right, because you have the roster to win now, right? That's basically what we've seen the Los Angeles Rams do. They said, the hell with these draft picks and all this. We're in win now mode. We got to win at this juncture in our season, in our organization's career. We got to win now. And I think the Cleveland Browns, if you have to give up a first-round draft pick to get another quarterback, a quarterback that will upgrade over Baker Mayfield, I think it's a no-brainer. You have no hesitation in doing so.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Chris Carlin, Harry Douglas in this morning for the fellas. Well, one other quarterback that we haven't mentioned here that the Browns could be looking at, well, now dealing with somewhat of a significant and unexpected injury. That comes right after Harry tells us about this from Straight Talk.
Cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good, really good. Actually, it feels great. You should try it. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless, now offering $45 silver unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot, a nationwide 5G on America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 silver unlimited plan from Straight Talk, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G compatible device required. Actually, availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Chris Carlin, along with Harry Douglas. It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN Radio. That was a rough break for the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo getting injured in the game on Thursday night. And now they have to turn to Trey Lance, the rookie from North Dakota State, Harry. And this is an exceptionally unfortunate situation for the 49ers, who have won 5 of their last 7 despite the loss the other night. They had been playing really, really good football, and this is going to hurt as far as their chances in making the postseason.
Yeah, they was playing some great football until we seen Jimmy G turn the football over down in the tight red zone and then out in the open field when he overshot one of the receivers and it got picked off by Hooker of the Tennessee Titans. But, yeah, this is a huge blow for this team. But I will say this. Trey Lance, I think he's been preparing and been waiting for this moment. The last time we seen him start was against the Arizona Cardinals, and they lost that game 17-10. He had 192 yards and threw an interception, but he ran for 89 yards. Now, when you incorporate Trey Lance, now that's going to make the Houston Texans' job defensively that much harder, because now you have to account for him in the run game. So the San Francisco 49ers will be a +1 in the run game. But here's the thing. Kyle Shanahan wants his young quarterback to protect the football, not get turnovers, don't fumble, don't throw interceptions, be able to convert third downs, and I think this team will be okay, because I think they have the pieces around Trey Lance. I think they have guys who are, I call star players, who could do a multiplicity of different things, and then they have a decent enough defense, except on the back end. The back end worries me a lot for this team, but they are going against the Houston Texans. Brandon Cooks, I don't think he played the last game for the Texans, and I don't think they just have a bona fide guy out there who can just dominate like that, like you've seen A.J. Brown did against them in their secondary. So I think they should be in good standings. Don't turn the football over, convert third downs, and if you can create turnovers on your defense, I think they'll be okay.
Now, on the flip side with Lance, just in terms of his ability to win, I talked to guys who are around him in college, yeah, and the feeling was very much the same across the board. He's a great young player. Yeah. He just had not played nearly enough in college to be able to go in, especially when you're on the FCS level, to go in and play a lot early with the 49ers, and we saw that. I mean, we saw when they were kicking that around, and Jimmy G, playing well enough this year, had really taken that off the table. But Lance was not ready for this. But I am curious now, after watching for 15, 16 weeks, how does this look, in addition to that start, how does this look now with Lance this far into his rookie year, having not played, but maybe have a better understanding of how this offense is going to run? That's what I'm most curious about. I love the fact that he can run the ball. That's awesome. And that can make up for other shortcomings. Harry, how are they, you know, how is it going to be when they're blitzing him and he has no idea where it's coming from? You know, I know it's the Texans,
that's the thing, Chris.
Hey, they just went and won this past week.
Yeah, that's the thing with these young quarterbacks. And you even seen Patrick Mahomes say earlier this year, that last year he was still learning coverages and whatnot. And think about that. Think about how good he's been. But when you're
a rookie, had already won an MVP, and he's still learning coverages.
Exactly. When you're a rookie, and we've seen it with Ian Book last night. We've seen the Miami Dolphins defense throw all kind of things at Ian Book, and he was a deer in the headlights when he's seen different coverages. The post-snap stems by the defense. You think it's going to be one high. It ends up being cover two. You see the linebackers mugged up in the A-gaps. You think they're coming. The offensive line thinks they're coming, so they're blocking a certain way. Then they buzz out and bring guys from other different directions and blitzes from depth. So you have all those things you have to account for, but he has had time. He has had time to go through those things. He has had time to see what it looks like with Jimmy G being out there, and Jimmy G being a great role model for him, or a guy that he can look up to and go to for different things. But I just think we're going to see in this game against the Houston Texans, and I'll tell you, David Culley and the Houston Texans team defensively, if they don't throw everything at Trey Lance, then they're just crazy, because you have to test and see, where's his growth? Has he adapted to the NFL game? Where's his growth in that capacity as far as reading defenses and deciphering things that the defense is trying to do? And I'll tell you this, man, when you're trying to decipher coverages, safeties can tell you everything you need to know. That's what a coach taught me early on. Safeties tell you everything you need to go. Safeties are linked, because safeties can't hold too long, because if they can, they'd be out of position. If you can read those safeties the right way and understand fronts and what runs you need to get into, I think he'll be okay. But we're going to see against the Houston Texans this weekend.
You know, here's Kyle Shanahan, and this answer, take a good listen to this and let me know what this tells you from a head coach speaking about how Lance has looked in practice.
This last month of Trey has been his best consecutive 4 weeks of practice since we've had him. He's had a number of good days, and he's had some bad days like most guys do, but you know, as far as his consistency and stuff, I feel this last month has been his best.
That doesn't make me feel good.
Well, he can't be coming out loud saying that, though. Like,
I know, but he said it.
No, you can't, man. You can't say it out loud.
But he did.
I know.
But he did. Look, I wouldn't feel great about that. I wonder if the 49ers, if in fact he is done for the year, Garoppolo, I wonder if their playoff hopes have just been sabotage.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think so, because they are playing in Houston, Texas. Granted, the Houston Texans just went out and beat the Los Angeles Chargers, and we don't know what kind of football team they want to be. One week they want to be Dr. Jekyll. The next week they want to be Mr. Hyde. And they got Justin Herbert to turn the football over, and they ran the football the Houston Texans down the Chargers' throat, and they haven't been good against the run. But when you look at the San Francisco 49ers team, if they can get past the Houston Texans, then it sets up the last game of the year, the showdown with the Los Angeles Rams, a team that they already physically imposed their will on earlier this year with the run game. And like Kyle Shanahan said, Trey Lance just has to take care of the football. Take care of the football, and I think one of the things I thought he needed to learn early on too, Chris, is that how to throw certain passes, right? Some passes can't be 100 miles per hour. You have to put some touch on it, right? It's different launch angles and things of that nature. Early on, he was trying to throw every ball 100 miles per hour. And being a former wide receiver, we don't like every ball coming 100 miles per hour.
Well, this is going to bear watching for sure. And then there's the other situation in the NFC West. It's Chris Carlin, Harry Douglas in for KJ and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Matthew Stafford, I talked about this yesterday. Yeah. I am a huge Matthew Stafford and Rams guy. I've been a big believer in Stafford since he went over to join McVay and realized that it was going to be such a very positive situation for the Rams and for Stafford. But, Harry, in talking to people earlier this year, they all said the same thing to me from people who are out there. This is going to look great when it looks great. But when it doesn't look great, it's going to look really bad. And it's going to get away from you. And the other day, it looked exceptionally bad. Three interceptions in the first half. But before I let you get into this, we've got to hear our guy Dan Orlovsky from yesterday. Because Dan, as we know, is a big Matthew Stafford guy. And perhaps a little too big of a Matthew Stafford guy. Play it.
Little concern about Matthew Stafford. I have little concern about yesterday's football game. I could not care less about the three interceptions. It's Christmas weekend. It's a 10 o'clock kick for this football team. They just went through like a month of COVID chaos. I find a way to win the game. I don't care about the interceptions. Find a way to win this football game with everything that you have gone through. Now, if you want to tell me this, the Rams are a Super Bowl contender, and the biggest question is, do you believe that Matthew Stafford can play the best four-game stretch ever in his career for them to win? That's a fair question. I think he can.
Oh, boy. Listen, I love Dan, and Dan's about as good as it gets, but he would even admit his relationship with Matthew Stafford can color his opinion a little bit, and as much as I think Stafford is a great fit for the Rams, and I still believe in their ability to do something in the postseason, Harry, the other day, I'm not letting that go. And I'm not saying he's in big trouble here, but I'm saying I'm worried about that one god-awful game in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you've seen him early in the year playing against the Tennessee Titans, Matthew Stafford throwing interceptions and turning the football over, cost him that football game, along with him getting sacked and the offensive line not being good. You look at this game this past weekend, right? Matthew Stafford had three interceptions. And if the Minnesota Vikings offensively weren't so stale, they were playing Aaron Rodgers or a Dallas Cowboys football team, they would have got blown out this weekend. Yes, the Los Angeles Rams would have. But the first drive of the game, on the third play of the game, Matthew Stafford should have had another interception. The DB, Dantzler, for Minnesota dropped the football right before halftime with about 20-something seconds to go. Cooper Kupp lines up in the backfield. They try to sneak him out, send him to the end zone. Patrick Peterson falls off of that, tips the ball in the end zone to the nickel defender. He drops that football. So that's two more interceptions that Matthew Stafford should have had in that ball game against his Minnesota Vikings. So am I concerned? Yes, I'm concerned. Because not only did Les Snead and Sean McVay bring Matthew Stafford over because they thought he was a winning piece, they let go Jared Goff. Jared Goff went to the Super Bowl with the Los Angeles Rams.
And two right first-round picks.
Yeah. I think the pressure is on Matthew Stafford to perform for this football team, not just right now, but in the playoffs. Because if he has a game like he had against the Minnesota Vikings, and let's be honest now, most of these teams that's going to be in the playoffs, their offenses are going to be thriving. They have guys that can make plays, and you're not going to have them being as stale as the Minnesota Vikings were. You're going to be in trouble, bottom line, point blank period.
I think they could be in big trouble in just one of those spots where it can get away from Stafford, because I don't think it's throw one pick and, all right, we got that out of the way, let's just – I think it can spiral on him pretty quickly. Well, the Rams
in the playoffs, Chris, one pick can cost you the ball game in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the Rams are one of four 11-win teams in the league. So we are asking this morning at Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on Twitter, which 11-win team do you trust the most? Be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. College football bowl season is here. Fans are hyped. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. A natural transition from one 11-win team to a 10-loss team.
Foles gone, lifts his right leg, moves to his right, jacking it, throw it back in the end zone, catch made, and he couldn't hang on. They're going to say it's good for the two-pointer, and the Bears have the lead, 25-24 here in Seattle.
I was impressed, and I don't know how you couldn't be, Harry Douglas, by the Bears coming back and winning that game in Seattle. What a catch by Bird. I said that yesterday on the two-point conversion. Just absolutely phenomenal. Hey. And a great, great win on the road. But I think we all know what's coming. We all know where it's headed Chicago Bears at this point, do we not? Well, Matt Nagy was asked flat out yesterday, you ready to go for these last two games? Are you expecting to be the head coach? I mean, think about this. He's it's asked crazy. If he's expecting to be the head coach for the next two games for the Chicago Bears.
I and we all owe that to each other for today and for this week with the Giants and finishing out this week on a high note, trying to get a win and then doing it again in the final game of the season. So to answer your question, nothing has changed as far as communication that way.
Matt, just clarifying on that, and are you working under the assumption that you will coach out the remaining two games?
Yes.
Yeah, no. No, I'm not. I'm looking forward to a nice little weekend. You know, we got a lot going on.
Maybe Chris, I'm
going to get fired tomorrow. We'll go to Home Depot, maybe Bed Bath & Beyond.
That's what I'm
saying. We're going to have time.
I don't get it, Chris. Like, if he hasn't been fired up to this point, why would he get fired before the last two games of the year? I don't understand it at all.
The only thing I can think of is if the Bears wanted to start interviewing people now, there's the new rule in the NFL that you can start interviewing assistants this week. But that's if you've already fired your
coach. That's 2 damn weeks, Chris. They can wait 2 weeks.
I would think so.
It's not like they're going to the playoffs.
Do they gain anything at all, Harry, by firing Matt Nagy now?
No, they gain nothing whatsoever. The only thing I would say is that I do feel like, you know, I don't like to say people should get fired or anything like that because I respect everybody in their craft and I know they go hard and they try to do the best that they can do. I do feel like the Chicago Bears need to move on in a different direction so you can start the growth of Justin Fields and what his future and the future of the Bears can be. You have solid guys on defense. You see what Robert Quinn is doing this year, having a hell of a year, a franchise year, I'll say, in the Chicago Bears organization. So you Khalil Mack's not even playing right now. You have two solid linebackers in Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan. I think you have pieces. Akeem Hicks, I think he is a grown man. Physical, don't care nothing about who he's playing offensively. He's going to bring that boom, bring that pain every play he's out there on the football field. So they have some pieces. They just got to get the right guys in there to get the best out of this offense.
You know, Robert Quinn's the guy that nobody who follows the NFL outside of Chicago even realizes that he has 17 sacks this year. Yeah. I mean, that's how good he has been for the Bears. And at the same time, they have to figure out if it's not going to be Matt Nagy, which we know that it won't be, who is it going to be moving forward? I'm going to throw out a name to you that has been floated, and I would not be shocked to see it happen, and I'll tell you why in a sec. Ryan Day, head coach at Ohio State. And the reason is not just because of the Justin Fields connection. Just in talking to people around coaching, the feeling is basically that Ryan Day's style of coaching and his system offensively is exceptionally close to what the NFL, like it would be an easy transition, I should say, for him into the NFL. I don't know if he wants, I don't think you would want to leave Ohio State, but at the same time, that'd be a heck of a challenge, and it would be with somebody that you're very familiar with.
So I'll say this about Ryan Day. I had a chance to go up to Columbus this year with Countdown to College Game Day and the Game Day crew, as we had Game Day up there in Columbus, Ohio. And being around that facility and that organization and that program, I think it's one of the top ones in the country. Everybody up there is so welcoming, and you see why a lot of players commit to Ohio State because of the atmosphere, the culture that they have up there. Ryan Day has done a great job taking over for Urban Meyer when Urban Meyer no longer was the head coach there. I think he's done a tremendous job with players and their development. I think he's created a great culture, a winning culture, a positive culture. And I wouldn't knock Ryan Day going to the Chicago Bears to coach Justin Fields and the rest of those guys.
Okay, so if you're the Bears, and we're not outside of Ryan Day, mm-hmm. are you looking for the next hot offensive assistant
to bring there?
You know, Eric Bieniemy, somebody like that? Who are you looking at?
Has to be an offensive guy in my mind because of the quarterback, Justin Fields. And you want him to grow to be a franchise changer, right? And that's the thing. I just don't think Justin Fields was able to grow the way that he should have in his first year. Now, he made some progressions, but I think with Coach Nagy as his head coach, I didn't think he made the strides that he could have made in his rookie season. So I think you have to go an offensive guy just because of who you drafted in the first round last year, and that's Justin Fields and his growth moving forward.
All right. Here's another one to throw at you.
Talk to me.
It's a little out there.
Talk to me.
Trading for a head coach.
Talk to me.
Sean Payton.
Ooh.
Grew up in Illinois.
Ooh.
Went to Eastern Illinois. Maybe after 15 years in New Orleans, new opportunity, young quarterback. I'm not saying it is going to happen, but if you're the Bears, would you trade for a head coach? Keep in mind, they already don't have a first-round pick this year. They traded it this past year to get Fields.
If I had to trade for Sean Payton, hail to the yes. Because Sean Payton, you look at his history. His history speaks for itself.
Yeah.
He's a quarterback guru, offensive guy. You've seen the relationship him and Drew Brees have for so long. You've seen what he's been able to do with the guys at the quarterback position this year. And they aren't playing well. But in New Orleans, they're down there holding on by a shoestring because the quarterback, the lack of the talent at the quarterback position, I should say. Because when Jameis Winston went down, that just went downhill, spiraling downwards for this New Orleans Saints football team. They still have a defense. Chicago Bears have a defense. But I think the main thing here, the luxury, is that you have a Justin Fields up there. And you have Mooney. You have other guys on that offense who can make plays too. So I don't think that would be a bad swap.
I don't think it would be a bad swap either. But it's just what the compensation looks like.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Because if you're Payton, you don't want to go there and then have no draft picks to work with either. Now, having said that, the team that really should be looking at Sean Payton, and they're not, they're going to stay put, is the Giants. I think Sean Payton and the Giants would be an ideal marriage, and let him come up and run that organization because they understand that they're moving on from Dave Gettleman. It's just they're sticking with Joe Judge for right now. It's Chris Carlin, Harry Douglas, in for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, of course, on Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speakers. Coming up, his current team, Peyton's current team, was on Monday night, helped set an NFL record. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.